Over the past few weeks, we've explored ethics in computer science education from a variety of different perspectives. For example, the perspectives of students, the perspectives of higher education faculty members, as well as looking at ethics from like curricular standpoints in terms of how you might integrate. But what about perspectives of K-12 educators? What are their perceived opportunities and barriers or understandings of the word ethics? We're going to explore that in today's paper, which is titled, quote, How K-12 CS Teachers Conceptualize CS Ethics, : Future Opportunities and Barriers to Ethics Integration in K-12 CS, end quote. This paper is written by Anne, Drew, Hu, and Aman Yadav. Here's the abstract for this paper, quote, As issues of ethics, criticality, and social impact become more important in computer science, so does the need to teach them in CS classes. Despite the recent growth of academic writing around ethics in CS and a push for teaching ethics in post-secondary CS classes, the K-12 space has largely been ignored. To explore integrated ethics into K-12 CS classes, we interviewed a diverse group of current U.S. K-12 CS teachers and conducted a thematic analysis to understand how they conceptualize ethics in CS and see potential opportunities and barriers to ethics integration in their classroom context. We found that teachers initially associated ethics with digital citizenship and gender race imbalances, but were largely unfamiliar with issues of algorithmic bias, injustice, and techno-solutionism. After being introduced to these ideas and presented with examples, the teachers started to broaden their perspective of CS ethics. However, there are still barriers to teachers integrating ethics into their classroom. Example, curriculum, time constraints. We discuss potential future pathways for K-12 CS ethics, including through integrating ethics into digital citizenship, end quote. If I were to summarize this study into a single sentence, I'd say that this study explores K-12 CS educators' perspectives on ethics before and after an introduction to the big ideas around ethics in computing. And as always, you can find a link to this paper in the show notes at jaredoleary.com or by clicking the link in the app that you're listening to this on. So the authors begin with the introduction with a very important thing to consider. This is from page 910. Quote, To address the question of how to prepare teachers to teach ethical concepts in computer science, we must first understand how teachers conceptualize CS ethics and how they see the role of ethics in their classroom, end quote. That is a very important point to consider. I really appreciate that from a researcher standpoint, because there is a tendency sometimes for researchers to kind of come into the K-12 space and assume that they understand something. And then they engage in behaviors that can come across as colonizing teachers' ways of thinking, doing, being, etc. So rather than making assumptions, I really appreciate that the authors of this particular study went in asking questions first to understand what teachers thought before they did any kind of intervention. So kudos to the authors for that. Now, on page 910 and 911, here are the research questions for this particular study. Quote, RQ1A, how did K-12 CS teachers conceptualize CS ethics before being shown examples of big ideas in CS ethics? RQ1B, how did these conceptualizations change, if at all, after being shown examples of big ideas in CS ethics? RQ2A, what opportunities and barriers do K-12 CS teachers see to integrating ethics into their CS classes? RQ2B, what values influence how K-12 teachers think about integrating ethics into their CS classes? End quote. All right, so section 2 is on the background, and so in this they kind of talk about what their ethical framing is in terms of what are macro ethics and micro ethics. So at the macro level might be how like algorithms might create injustices, for example, through apps that are created by large corporations. And then at the micro level, it's more of like how individual designers, developers, etc. can have a negative impact on other people. And the authors emphasize in this section that it's important for students to understand what ethics is because they need to be able to make informed decisions in their lives about computing and computing devices or products and be more critical of them. So they do have a subsection that is 2.2, which is on the big ideas in CS ethics. So they talk about ideas like algorithmic bias, and they provide some examples for each one of these big ideas. So an example under algorithmic bias is using postal codes to approve or deny loan applications, as these postal codes are often substitutes for race or socioeconomic status and demographics. And so the authors unpack some of the problems with that type of algorithmic bias. Another one that they talk about is algorithmic injustice. And this is when an algorithm might reinforce or create a new form of injustice. For example, facial recognition, which results in wrongful arrests, etc. So if you want to learn more about that, make sure you check out that subsection. And then an idea known as techno-solutionism. Here's a quote from page 912 that talks about that. Quote, This is the myth that new technologies can be used to solve all of society's problems. Advocates of techno-solutionism believe that algorithms are objective and unbiased, Therefore, they are the best way to solve problems, end quote. So an example they provide on techno-solutionism is using like an algorithm to kind of sort through resumes or applications for jobs and how that led to some biases against women. If you want to learn more about that, make sure you check out that subsection. Now, in the methods section, the authors mentions that there were 6 teachers that were in the American Midwest, and they engaged in 3 interviews. And the first interview is basically like a pretest where they were kind of trying to understand what the teachers thought about what ethics was. In the second interview, they had a review of what are some of the ethical big ideas in computing. And then in the third interview, they talked about, okay, well, how has your understandings of ethics changed? And how might you actually integrate ethics into your classes? And then they used a thematic analysis to kind of look at what the responses were after like transcribing the interviews. All right, so let's talk about the findings. This is section 4, starting on page 912. So for the first research question, which was on the preconceptualizations of CS ethics, some of the teachers who responded thought that ethics was related to malicious uses of technology. So for example, hacking or social engineering. Others described ethics in relation to privacy, like being able to keep your personal information off the internet. Some teachers thought of it had to do with underrepresentation. For example, CS being largely dominated by white and Asian males. Others thought of ethics as appropriate usage of technology, like a code of conduct that they might use in their classroom or something like that. Some teachers thought of ethics as incentives in the tech industry. So like how capitalism influences tech. And then only one of the teachers actually demonstrated prior knowledge of the big ideas that were presented in the second interview that I talked about earlier. Now in this subsection, they weave in a bunch of different quotes from the different participants. So I highly recommend looking at that. All right, so in the next subsection for RQ1B, they talk about the post-conceptualization of CS ethics. So after they did the intervention where they kind of talked about, well, here are some of the bigger ideas that are being discussed within the field of computer science. The authors then engage in a third interview where they ask the teachers, okay, well now what are your understandings of computer science ethics? And so after this point, the teachers talked about things like algorithms lack humanity and they have limitations to their design and how they might be used. The teachers also were able to kind of discuss some of the biases that might exist in terms of the human biases that might be programmed into it, as well as the computational biases from like using different types of data sets. For example, with the facial recognition, if you're only using data sets for white individuals or like white males, algorithms that are kind of feeding off of that data are likely not going to work as well for females or for people with darker complexions. But again, the teachers now understood that humans also have biases as well in terms of the algorithms that they write. Teachers also brought up how algorithms have biased them, or like family members or friends, etc. For example, being denied loans because of your zip code. Teachers were also able to identify how algorithms were kind of like reinforcing some discrimination or injustices, like with not hiring women for different positions, because the algorithm was removing women from the application pool. And then teachers also talked about how it appeared as though there was almost like a lack of accountability for a lot of these biases and unintended or maybe unfortunately intentional consequences from some of these algorithmic biases, etc. Okay, so now that teachers had a better understanding of, well, what are some of the big ideas in ethics, what does this actually look like in terms of potential opportunities and barriers for incorporating ethics into a K-12 computer science classroom? That's discussed in section 4.3, RQ2A. In this section, teachers talked about how they could take an interdisciplinary approach to computer science education, which I have had several episodes that talk about how you might integrate computer science in helpful or problematic ways. In a recent episode, episode 180, we talk about integrating ethics into computer science education in multi, inter, and transdisciplinary approaches. So if you haven't listened to that episode, I highly recommend you do so. It is very relevant to this topic. And there are several more episodes that kind of unpack integration in general, if that topic interests you. So I'll link to those in the show notes at jaredoleary.com. Teachers also mentioned in this interview that they felt like they had more examples that they could actually discuss and present to students and explore in different ways. And they also expressed an interest in having a curriculum that focused on or embedded ethics throughout the curriculum. So that way they could explore some of the issues of like algorithmic biases, injustices, etc. So if you are a curriculum developer, like I used to be, that might be an opportunity for you to explore, kind of fill that niche. And then they also just kind of felt like they had an expanded sense of vocabulary related to computer science education, which for whatever reason is like a big topic among elementary teachers in particular, being able to speak in academic languages, but but for myself, it's something that I've like never really focused on or cared about, both as a student and as an educator. And I say that as somebody who has actually read quite a bit of literature on situated languages and learning in terms of vernacular languages, academic languages, and the social capital that comes with those different types of languages. So I'll include some episodes in the show notes that talk about that, like episode 124, Intersections of Cultural Capital with Kimberly Scott, as well as episode 53, Situated Language and Learning with Brian Brown. So if you want to hear more perspectives on that idea, take a look at those episodes. Now, in terms of barriers, the teachers only really mentioned two. So one is time constraints, which like every educator kind of seems to reflect that in the different research that I've explored, either as a researcher or as somebody who's just reading other people's research. But again, like I discussed last week, there's always going to be a null curricula, so that's just kind of always going to happen. But teachers today are really kind of pulled in so many different directions that it becomes difficult to really incorporate anything new into a classroom. They're constantly being asked to just add and add and add without subtracting anything. Like, especially if you think of like the K-8 or elementary teachers in particular, they might have a 90-minute reading block, like a 90-minute math block, and then they've got to do like so many other different classes that they teach, all these different subject areas, and then they're being asked to integrate computer science and then ethics. Like, how much more are we going to keep adding until we finally get to a point where we go, okay, we need to subtract stuff? Or are we going to increase the number of hours we have in a school day? Are we going to eliminate recess? Even though research suggests that it's extremely beneficial for students' learning and, you know, just happiness. But another barrier that the teachers mentioned was that CS was just not prioritized by the school. So it might have been an elective or just not considered to be something important by administrators. Now, for the next subsection, 4.4, which is on RQ2B, which is on the values that the educators shared, some of the teachers mentioned that they wanted to be able to support their community. Others mentioned that they wanted to be able to compete economically in terms of competition with other outsiders, like other countries, as well as like against automation. Some felt that there should be more accountability in terms of who is held responsible for some of these algorithmic biases and consequences. Some teachers expressed that they were afraid of algorithmic harm and like an uncertainty about the future of technology and its impact on society. And then others mentioned that they felt that CS and CS ethics was important to understand and to be able to participate in our democracy. Now, in the discussion section, the authors mentioned that this topic of ethics is often merged together or correlated with discussions on digital citizenship. Here's a quote from page 915. Quote, "Instead of being a barrier to ethics integration, the tendency for teachers to associate digital citizenship with ethics could be used as an opportunity to increase the presence of CS ethics," end quote. And that leads into some of my lingering questions and thoughts. So the first one is, what does this mean for PD and curriculum providers? Is this an opportunity for professional development providers and curriculum developers to embed or integrate digital citizenship, ethics, and computer science all into one curriculum or unit or lesson plan, etc.? What might that look like? And some of the prior ethics episodes kind of unpack that. So again, check out episode 180, which is on integrating ethics in computer science education, multi-inter and transdisciplinary approaches, if you're interested in learning more about that. Also check out episode 181, which is titled, "Is More Better When Embedding Ethics in CS Courses?" which basically asks questions like, when do we reach our saturation point with ethics in computer science classes? When is it enough or too much? Now, another question that I have is, how does your desire to integrate ethics compare with your desire to focus on equity? Where do the two like overlap and diverge? So if we think of them as like two different circles, a little Venn diagram, Where does equity and ethics overlap, and what is missing outside of that overlap? Are they one and the same for you? When do you focus on equity without focusing on ethics, and when do you focus on ethics without focusing on equity? There isn't really a right or wrong way to think of this, but it's something important to consider if you are passionate about both. How much time do you spend on either of them? Then another question that I have is like, how has your understanding of ethics changed over time? Not just like as a result of these podcasts or anything, but in terms of like understanding just how much of an impact computer science can have on different people, individuals, groups, etc. Like learning about the different algorithmic biases that we've talked about and that guests have talked about, or that I mentioned in today's paper that we're unpacking. You'll often hear in the interviews that I've conducted on here that I will often ask about how an understanding of education has kind of changed over time for a guest. I just think it's interesting to kind of think through that and sit with it. But another question that I have is more of a personal question for you and what your preferences are for this particular podcast. I've tried different approaches over the years in in terms of like having little mini series on like mod culture and modding, or a little mini series on Paulo Freire's book, Pedagogy of the Oppressed, or a mini series on integration, or even some on what it means to integrate music into computer science class. Because again, my background's in music education. I've tried different approaches for each of these different mini series in terms of like how many papers or publications I discuss, as well as should I do them all back to back, or should I make it so that they are more spread out, or include some like interviews in between them? What is your particular preference? Would you prefer something new every week, or do you like to have several episodes in a row that kind of unpack a particular idea? You can leave a comment on social media platforms, whether it's like Twitter or on my website or on the YouTube video that you might be watching or listening to this on, but feel free to let me know. There's also a contact me button on my website. I am curious what your preferences are, as pretty soon I'm going to be starting a professional development mini-series that kind of basically provides free professional development for listeners, so you don't have to pay tens of thousands of dollars to get started with computer science education. So stay tuned for that. But thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed this little mini series on ethics, please consider sharing it with somebody else or leaving a review on whatever app you're listening to this on. It helps more people find this podcast. Stay tuned next week for another episode. Until then, I hope you're all staying safe and are having a wonderful week.